Thanks. I'd like to call this order, call this meeting to order for the Committee for Citizen Involvement for the City of West Lynn. It is Tuesday, July 28th, 2020, and it is 5:38 p.m. So the first item on our agenda is the approval of the June 2020 meeting notes. Did everyone have a chance to take a look at those, or if you have any comments? Just let us know.
No, they look good.
Yeah, they look fine to me as well, and I'll make a motion to approve the meeting notes from June 2020.
Great. I'll second. Do we have a motion and a second? Could we call the roll?
I can do so. Let's see, Ms. Knight.
Yes.
Mr. Tedrow.
I'm here.
Is that a yay or nay on the meeting notes?
Yay, excuse me.
Nope, that's okay. And Ms. Olson.
Yay.
Oh, Mr. Schwarz.
Yay.
And Chair Valvotny.
Yes.
All right, that's a motion passing 5-0.
Great. So I was told earlier that we do not have any public comments. No one has signed up to talk to the CCI this evening. So we'll move on to the fourth item on the agenda, which is to review citizen vision goals. Did you have anything, Chris?
Oops.
What I recall on those is that the CCI revised citizen vision goals and sent those off to council in 2018, I think October 2018.
Correct.
And so I'm not clear what we're doing now.
Well, I believe that my understanding of it is, and I'll try and dig up the email from City Manager John Williams, that council has asked for CCI to come back with a recommendation to either go with those revised 2018 citizen vision goals or go back to the 2003 goals. Now, I actually think Ed might know more than anyone on the call about this, because I think, Ed, you were pretty involved, at least from the Savannah Oaks Neighborhood Association. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
I'm trying to remember, Chris. it seems so long ago, you know?
I know. 2 years is a lifetime these days.
Yes, it is. So I'm really... I don't recall being involved in that, but I'm apologies, but I don't have much to add to this discussion right now.
Okay. Let me see.
I have a question. This is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
The review of the West Lynn land use planning process, the report that's July 17th, 2018, there's a revision to that?
It's a different document.
Yes.
So the comprehensive plan, which lays out the city's basically response or plan for to meet the state's land use planning goals, mm-hmm. had a list of citizen vision goals at the front of it. And at some point, I think in 2014 or so, that those vision goals were removed from the document. And this is to reinstate those into the comprehensive plan.
Yes.
So a couple of years ago, this came up. And so the CCI at that time went through and reviewed and revised the goals with the council liaisons at the time. And so that's the list that's currently out there or before council. Was that list sent to everyone?
I was just looking, to be honest with you, Gary. I swear it did, but maybe that didn't. So I'm looking right now.
Okay.
I don't have it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Gary, you summed that up perfectly based on the email I'm reading from John Williams right now. Here we go. Hold on.
So I've got the letter that I signed in October 2018 and the Word document. Do you want me to, I can forward that to you, Chris.
See, is that the one? Okay, so I have in front of me the Citizen Vision Goals, October 16th, 2018.
That's it, yes.
1 through 10. I don't have a letter attached. I just have the 1 through 10.
And then there's a letter dated the following day.
Okay. So what I have both the 11 goals from February 5th of 2003, and then I have the 10 goals from 2018 here, and I can share those. In fact, maybe it's easier just to send them real quick. I'm working on a guy. It's okay. This comes over. And this comes over. Okay. Just sent both of those to the committee on email.
And I just sent what I have to you.
Oh, look at that technology. There's mine. That come through to you guys, what I sent you? Okay, here's Gary's. Okay. So there's your letter. And so the letter that you just sent me, Gary, right, that would have accompanied the 2018 goals I just sent you. There's 10 of them.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know if there was any accompanying letter. I don't have one for the 2003 goals, which I also just sent. Those were the originals, I believe, in the comp plan.
Right. And I can't remember if there was an update to the comp plan at the time. And
so, that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So then system vision statement to be restored. Okay, yeah. So one of the Word documents you just sent is the same document I sent. And then, yep, so those are the same. Whoops.
Yeah.
Don't want
to. There was an effort in reviewing and revising the goals to, because it was a 15-year time difference.
Right.
To bring them up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm going to go back to the email from John real quick, or from Dylan, actually. Dylan, that one. And just confirm what is being asked. So that was from November. What was it at? Okay. So in November of 19, John Williams sent the CCI an email saying that, as we may recall, the proposal to add Citizen Vision goals to the comprehensive plan. The council recently requested neighborhood association review of the proposal. As Dylan has described below, which I'll get to, three neighborhood associations responded and one more intends to. The feedback was varied. So last night, council requested that the CCI work to resolve this and make a recommendation to council. And I don't believe anything from there, November of 2019 to today, I don't believe anything has happened as far as giving a recommendation to council. So I think that's what they're asking for is, you know, we had the previous vision goals from 2003. We had an update in 18, but we've never really done anything. So now I think they're asking CCI to weigh in on that. Do we like the ones from 18? Do we want to recommend those go back in to the comp plan? And I think that's where it stands right now.
And this review has refreshed my memory, and I certainly that memo helped as well. But yeah, I do remember this being brought up to the NAs. And as the memo stated, I think there was a disagreement. Some NAs preferred the older goals from 2003.
Right.
Some preferred or were okay with the new goal, the new 2018 goals. But there was no consensus reached, and there was not a lot of input from, I think, like it said, three or four NAs were the only weighed in on it. So
yeah, and I can't remember. I'm doing this off memory from reading, you know, however many memos we have to read. I don't think Savannah Oaks supported the new goals, Ed, but I honestly, am I remembering that right correctly?
We supported the old, yeah, the 2003 right. goals. We prefer those over the new ones, yes. And I do not recall the other NAs, how they weighed in on it.
Yeah, I'm looking for their feedback for that. Dylan gave me that on an email. That's not it. Hold up, maybe this is it. Okay, so what I have here is a forwarded email from early November of 2019. This is when Eileen was still city manager, and it was from John Williams to Eileen. Let's see. So he has it listed as one vote by what I assume is Willamette Neighborhood Association, WNA. They had one vote. That was one vote for the new version, 2018 version. One vote from the MNA, Merrillhurst Neighborhood Association, I assume, for the new version with amendments taken from the old version, which I will try to find that. And then one vote, SONA, Savannah Oaks, for keeping the old version. So those were the three neighborhood associations who actually weighed in of the 11 on these citizen goals, vision goals, sorry. And I'm looking for the amendment. Yeah. As John stated, which it kind of feels this way right now, at the end of that email, he says, so it's as clear as mud for now. Kind of feels that way. I don't see in what amendment they're talking about.
Maybe they passed a resolution or something at one of the Merrillhurst meetings.
Could be. Oh, here we go.
I'll look and see, but I don't think I have a copy of it.
Yeah. That's a little side. Okay, that's it. Mm-hmm.
So I recall when these were, when the revised list of goals was prepared 2 years ago, that there was, I mean, as always, there was some compromise. There are a couple things, and I understand why there are probably a couple of the goals that I, of the older goals that I like more than newer goals. But then there are a couple, like the reference to Stafford Hamlet,
mm-hmm.
And going from the Stafford Triangle, that was the name for the area in 2003. Now it's the Stafford Hamlet,
right?
As its legal name, and they now have a community vision plan, and that was the point of making that change, just to bring that up to date.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't part of this. I mean, I wasn't working for the city at this time, wasn't engaged in the process. And some of these, yeah, I agree with you, Gary. It does make sense on that 2018 goals, number 8, you know, shifting to the Stafford Hamlet Community Vision Plan makes sense. It brings it up to date, you know. And
right.
As you said, you know, those original goals are 17 years old now. One of the things I see is, you know, like number 3 is an example, always strive to improve trust and credibility in city government. Absolutely. I'm just not, that doesn't, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say.
So it's pretty similar to the 2003.
Yeah.
Version of goal 3.
Right.
And I think it went from 2003, there were 11 vision goals.
Yep. And
just as maybe to get it to a round number, a roundish number.
10's better than 11.
Things, right. Things were combined to bring it to 10 vision goals.
You know what? I see the water. Is that one, the one that dropped off? Number 4, preserve and protect Westland's water resources. Why not see that?
I think... I was looking for that too, and I think what happened is that it was wrapped up in number 5 under environmental protection.
I'm wondering if it wouldn't be worthwhile to, it's hard to go back and forth between the two documents, right? And try
it. Yes, it is.
It might be useful for you know, not to push this off, but maybe for the next meeting to take the two sets of goals, put them into a spreadsheet or somewhere we can compare them side by side. And because you're right, I think there's a lot of overlap. It's just some of it is rewording of things. Perhaps they could be arranged in a way so that we can see the ones that relate, that are relating to similar things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a bad suggestion, Ed. I think that it is hard to go back and forth, and you know these came to us as something that council wanted us to look at. Was it Thursday of last week or something? We haven't had a lot of time to really go through this. So yeah, it would maybe benefit to do that. And it wouldn't be hard to throw them onto a larger document and do a side-by-side kind of thing. That'd be pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Now, can you guys help just refresh my memory? These were approved by the CCI in 2018, or recommended by the CCI?
Right. So these were revised, reviewed and revised by the CCI. And then forwarded on to council in October 2018.
Right. And so apparently I'm working this out in my head here, but the crux of it is nothing was done at the time to rule on that by council. So now they've sat for a couple years.
Right.
And they'd like to clean that up and either figure out whichever ones are going to go in. Is that my...
Yeah, that's my take on it too.
Okay. Well, I mean, it would be good to clean up some old business, and this one doesn't look like it's a huge lift for us if we just had a little time to work through them.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so let me do this.
Can we combine the two documents, or it's one or the other?
I think we can edit. We can revise now too, propose changes in language.
Okay. But we can't restructure.
I think we can suggest whatever we want to.
Okay.
Yeah,
I agree with Gary. I think if they're asking for a recommendation, I'll make sure I'll go back in the email and make sure they're not, that it doesn't have to be one or the other. But I could be wrong, and I wish we had one of our counselors on to speak to this, but I think they would probably appreciate a well thought out recommendation versus just one or the other that we didn't really look at. That would be my take on it. But maybe Gary and Ed, you know, feel differently.
No, I think that makes sense. I think we can take, you know, both of these documents and see where we come up. We might be fine with the 18 goal. We, you know, we might all look at them and say, yeah, those are fine. But maybe there's something from 2003 that we thought we should bring forward as well. So
yeah.
I'd just like to take some time and compare them side by side.
Right.
Make sure what changed. You know, there's a lot of commonality between the two, but obviously some things have changed. So I just kind of wanted to go over it again, since it's been a while since I've looked at them, and take some time to give it some thought.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable. I mean, I'm the liaison, so I should stop talking, but yeah, that seems to work for me. I'd rather do it right and do it well.
I mean, this is something that would probably work fairly well if we wanted to put it into some sort of document where we could compare old and new side by side and then circulate it via email prior to the next meeting, so we had time to review it and give any comments that we had. So when we got to the meeting, we might be close to a final version that we could go with.
Yeah. Let's see. So we will be... 4th Tuesday. So that'll be the 25th of August will be our next meeting. Let me see. I get back to here. So that's not enough time. Sorry, I'm just working out the calendar a little bit here. So I mean, if we're going in this direction, you know, what I could do is, you know, commit to putting those documents together and sending them out to the group by the end of business on the 5th. I'm going to be on vacation after that for a week, but I don't want to wait till I get back. So if I can get them out by the end of business next Wednesday, that gives everyone, you know, nearly 3 weeks to take a glance at that and give feedback. Does that seem like a fair timeline?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing to just throw in there, sorry, Gary, didn't mean to cut you off, but we are going to be looking at, you know, we're going to be asking everyone, as we were chatting about beforehand, to take a little bit closer look at that larger House Bill 2001 memo that Darren is taking to the Planning Commission on this coming, the next Wednesday, the 5th. So there's going to be actually quite a bit of homework for CCI members between tonight and our next meeting. I mean, it's not 10 hours worth of work, but that's a pretty big memo, and it's pretty substantial. There's a lot of information in there. But this also seems like, you know, I think there are months where we don't have a lot to work on, and council's asked us to work on a couple things, so it's what you do. All right, so August 5th. Business. We'll combine both 2003 and 2018 goals in some format that's easier to read. It certainly doesn't help that a lot of the same words and sentence structure were used. As I flip back and forth, I get lost.
And if you could align side by side any goals that are very similar, like, you know, the first three are all really very similar. So just,
yeah.
And if further down, if there's one that's out of order, just try and align it so that we can compare.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
And I you know, when I send it out, I can just send it out in a Word doc too. So, you know, if you wanted to play around with the structure for your own good, that might help too. I mean, I'll try and put in a good general structure, but.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Yeah, you can tweak it. And then I think maybe what we should do is let's pick a date that we'll have feedback sent in, like everyone will have, like what's our drop dead date, so that I'll have time to actually put something together before our next meeting. And so if our next meeting will be the 25th of August, look at my own work here. Our next is the 25th, and I get it to you on the 5th. Maybe, and look, if I can get this to you, like, you know, tomorrow or the next day, I'll do it. You know, I'm not going to wait to the 5th just to wait to the 5th. But maybe we look at something like Wednesday the 19th. Does that seem like enough time? It's a couple weeks at minimum, a couple weeks to get some feedback. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's what we'll do then. So no later than the 5th, but I'll try and get it off my plate and out to you guys ASAP. And then feedback, no later than end of business, August 19th. That'll leave me just enough time to turn it around and get back out to you guys before the next meeting, so you'll have a chance to review what everyone has put on there.
That sounds great.
Okay. Done.
So it looks like we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which is includes discussion and comments regarding House Bill 2001.
And I think I mentioned it in the memo that you guys did get. Where is the... finding our need. But one of the things, so the council has asked for two things on the agenda item. One is discussion and feedback for the actual House bills themselves. And the other is what do we recommend as the citizen engagement process for the city of West Lynn for those house bills? You know, and again, I was kind of mentioning this to Gary earlier. I think he was on at the same time, but this does seem like an opportunity where we could actually put together a pretty good plan for citizen engagement and recommend it to council. We are the Committee for Citizen Involvement, so it seems to fall right in our wheelhouse. But I also mentioned in the memo that due to COVID, and we may not be able to hold open houses. So maybe we have a two-pronged approach to engagement. One is if things have kind of gone back to normal, and the other is if we're still in the same situation we are now. If we're talking about July 1st of next year is when this stuff will be effective, you know, we don't have to turn around and do the engagement in October of this year. We wouldn't want to wait too long, but we might have some progress in COVID where we are doing a little bit more social gathering, but maybe not. So anyway, those are my thoughts, but two prongs as far as they're looking for discussion and feedback on the House bills themselves, and then, you know, some recommendations on a citizen engagement program for Westland.
So I would suggest, we have the memo from Darren that he's provided to the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
But if I have a copy of House Bill 2001, the actual text, I don't have 2003 or I misplaced it here. Do you have copies of those, and could you forward those out to the CCI?
You know, I don't, but I can get them.
Okay.
No problem.
I mean, I'm just looking. House Bill 2001 is 11 pages. So it's not. And really, the last page is signatures, so it's 10 pages.
Right.
So that would give everyone a chance to take a look at it without other interpretation as well.
Yep. Yep.
Gary, Chris, do you guys do the staff measure summaries as well? Do you have?
Do what?
For House Bill 2001, 2019, mm-hmm. There's staff measure summaries that they have posted online. Do you guys use those?
As a reference, yeah.
Okay.
So, and this is, I'm just going to send a couple things here. Oops.
So, Vicki, do those staff, are those like staff reports that go along with the bill?
Yes, there's a legislative LPRO department at the legislature that will do summaries, and they're very good. So it's nice to read those and then read the bill, so you have a better understanding. And they're posted on OLIS. Let's see.
Yeah, I can send out that link, Vicki. I've got it right here. There we go. Okay.
So, I think you gave a little summary of. Give a summary of the last meeting on HB 2001 and 2003. They're different but related in the sense that they both deal with housing. 2001 deals with quote unquote middle housing needs. Mm-hmm. So duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, cottage housing, things like that. And so And then 2003, as I understand, deals with more of an assessment of housing needs and assessing that statewide.
Yep, that's how I understand it as well.
And so the bill, at least HB 2001, has, for lack of a better understanding, an arbitrary cutoff for cities that are impacted by this. Unless you're in the Portland metro area, then I think, you know, basically every community is impacted.
Oops.
So the state has been working on a new model code for HB 2001. And this would be community development type code that that cities could take and either adopt or use it as a basis for developing code that is at least as compliant as that code, mm-hmm. or it complies with HB 2001. And I think from the things that I've read, there are differences in interpretation as to what constitutes compliance with HB 2001. The Department of Land Conservation and Development has taken the lead on developing the code. And today I received an email from DLCD, and it was an announcement that last Wednesday, they had adopted a model housing code and administrative rules to guide the development of duplexes in medium-sized cities. That code is going to be out there, and it will, for duplexes, has to be in place by June 30th of next year. Mm-hmm. And if not, a city can be assumed to have adopted the state's code. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
Yeah. I'm on the same page with you, Gary. That's my understanding as well.
Okay. So it seems to me that, I mean, we need to have community input on this. And I think it's going to be substantial once it's really out there in front of people. Yep. And they understand what it means. So I think we need to be able to understand that as well, but also then how do we educate the community about it and how do we get their input? So that, at least as I understand, Darren's memo is seeking outreach to the community, but also how do we know what people think? And I've been thinking about this a little bit, and it's going to be challenging with COVID. But it may come down to, you know, setting up displays out in like Tanner Park and having people, you know, socially distanced across the soccer field, in order to have people put colored dots on displays. Yeah. I mean, those are the traditional ways of commenting that I've seen in the community, whether it be the school district or the city.
Right.
And if online works, that's great. But trying to figure out ways to accommodate everyone.
It seems to me that, you know, online works if that's the only option we have. It's what you have. But there's a reason open houses are so effective. It's because, you know, I can stand at a table and have a discussion about House Bill 2001, and 8 or 9 people can stand there and listen and comment. And if you're not interested in that, you can go listen to Darren talk about 2003, or you can have a conversation. you know, it, but when you're online, it's kind of like everyone has to be on the same topic at the same time, because we can't speak over each other online or hold multiple conversations at the same time, I should say. It's an interesting idea, actually. I hadn't put too much thought into it, but sure, doing some sort of socially distanced outside kind of thing could work.
Maybe. I mean, it's one option. And I think doing something online, doing a variety of things is going to be best, I think, because I think there's such a range of people that will be impacted by this, that the intent is to provide more affordable housing. And that's different than doing a housing needs assessment. I mean, I remember a meeting 2 or 3 years ago where someone made the comment that housing needs doesn't necessarily mean affordable housing.
Correct.
In some communities, there is a need for different price points for housing.
Right.
So how do you satisfy everyone who's at different places in the housing scenario? So anyway, any other comments would be great.
I do think it would be good for all. I agree with you, different forms of community input. And I think even we can look at the timeline and I don't want to say drag it out. That's not what I'm trying to say, but have an extended timeline so that engagement isn't happening over the course of 10 days. It needs to happen over the course of a longer period of time, which might allow people to plan appropriately to engage. On top of that, surveys and things like that too.
Right. And one thing that, as you were talking, one thing that struck me is that, and you can speak to this more than I can, but the city has received grant money from DLCD.
Correct.
To retain a consultant to help draft code. New community development code that will address HB 2001. And the point of that is that the earlier we get impact from input from the city or from people living within the city, the better to coordinate with that consultant as well in working with the planning department.
Right.
So, and then whatever draft code they come up with can go out for other review and consideration. And then ultimately it will go through the planning commission and then the council for final adoption.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. We did get some, we have some grant funds to do some of the technical work in leading up to this. And we just met with them last week, I think it was, for the first time. Just starting the scope and it's introductions. Here's what we're looking at. Here's the time, you know, just the very first meeting. So that's in the infancy stages now, but it is super helpful for us to have that technical support from the consultant. So I'm extremely thankful to have that. And look, and they don't care. They don't care. They'll write what we want them to write, so to speak. You know, when we tell them this is the goal, this is the outcome, then they'll go write it to that outcome. So you know, they're not going to be here to recommend to us what we should do. They're just going to write up the technical side of what we want to do. So, and I think that's, you're right, Gary, that's where the community's input is going to be really, I mean, that's the value, right?
Well, and I just think that there's some level of urgency to this because by the time you go through the legislative hearing process, I mean, through planning commission and through council, and if this has to be in place by June 30th of next year, I mean, just for duplexes, that doesn't include whatever other code is developed. Mm-hmm. Just that is going to be probably fairly complex.
Yeah.
Because we have so many different chapters, and I guess it will apply across different residential areas. So maybe you don't have to repeat it in every section.
Right.
But it probably has to be in front of the Planning Commission by February at the latest.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment of the timeline. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
So that way it gets down the road and it's in front of City Council in a work session in, well, definitely by May, if not April.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking June 30th, yeah, you might be hoping to get there the last week of April, no later than first week of May.
Right.
And we all know how this goes, the best laid plans, right? Then something else pops up and agendas get full and things get pushed around. Like you just don't want it. Yeah, pandemic or, you know, some lawsuits or whatever, you know, whatever you can think of. But the point being is best laid plans, right? So giving ourselves or giving the city ample time on the back end to be prepared obviously a wise decision. So with that in mind, then, I mean, we would need to start really thinking about what that engagement would look like and when we would want to start it. But I will also reiterate, I don't think we have to say it's going to happen I'm making up the number, October 15th to November 3rd. I think it can be, there can be something each month too. Right. But we know December is a tough month. So maybe December is a month, just because people are in holidays and this and that. Maybe December is the month we decide to roll out a survey, an online survey, you know, because it's bad weather and holidays. Again, totally making this up, but you get my point. Right. Is we don't have to do it in a month or in a week. We can make up the timeline as long as council approves that.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a question. So can we have time to think of how to do outreach and come up with a list and send those in maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So we can do some research and like I can maybe try to think of 10 different ways to do outreach then send it to you or send it to the group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send it through Chris.
Send it to Chris? Okay.
Yeah.
When should that be due?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. If we want to, I imagine we want to keep this discussion going for the next meeting on August 25th. I would think.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I would say as you get it, just send it in. You know, I don't know that we have to have a drop dead date. We can just. I view this as a little. It's going to be pretty fluid for a while. I don't know if anyone else agrees with that, but I don't know that we have to set all ideas have to be in on the 15th or whatever date. Because I think a lot of times these kinds of ideas, you might see something on TV or you're out and about and you see, you're like, oh, that's a good idea, but it happens the day before the meeting. Well, then bring it to the meeting, you know? Until we actually make some sort of recommendation, I think all ideas are on the table, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I would like to add, if I could, that we also need to think about how to explain these bills to the citizens, right? So we need to boil them down to as simple a description as possible while still encompassing what they really do. So we should be giving that some thought as well. And perhaps, you know, we can send that along to Chris as well as part of our recommendations for next month.
That's a fantastic point, Ed, because these are somewhat complicated. And if you're not involved in, you know, what I do or what, you know, the involvement you guys have, you might really be tuned out. So we do need to kind of shrink down the concept to some tangible bite-sized statements so people understand, but we still give them the actual true essence of what's happening. And one of the things, as you were speaking, I was thinking, well, the state has to be doing something. So we could take a look at what they're thinking of, or maybe they're not, but we could certainly start looking around at what other jurisdictions are thinking and piggyback off some of those ideas too. But yeah, you bring up a good point. That's the biggest, most challenging thing in an open house is distilling the information you're trying to put forward in an accurate form, but simple enough for people to digest without having to be an expert in the field. You know, Oh, that'll be fun. No problem.
Yeah, no, so, no problems there.
Mm-mm. Easy breezy, right? Yeah.
So, Chris, is there any budget for doing mailings and things like that, or what does the grant from DLCD cover? Is it just consultant fees?
Yeah, it's just the technical aspects. But I do know, and don't quote me on this, even though we're being recorded. I swear there was some not utilized grant funding from last year, I think. And so maybe that could be parlayed a little bit, because you're right. I think mailings should be on the docket of things we should consider.
Right.
Not everyone checks our website. Not everyone wants an email blast. We don't even have everyone's email address in the first place. And not everyone's going to want to come out and even go to a socially distanced open house. So I do feel like something needs to land at just about every house. Well, at every mailbox, right? I mean,
right. Well, and I think it, you know, people who have subscriptions or buy copies of the tidings, that's another way to do it.
Yep.
And then also, I mean, this is going to impact Westland Wilsonville School District. And they're planning new schools, apparently. So, but this could really add to the level of their population in the schools.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, and I was just thinking, I don't know what a mailing costs, but we have about 10,000 addresses in the city. So depending on what you're sending out, the size, the weight, et cetera, and the bulk rate, it'll be a pretty expensive venture.
Right.
I think worth it, but you're still probably talking $3,000 to $5,000. So it's something we would need to, you know, we couldn't just make it. I mean, we'd need to budget for it. We need to find the budget for it.
Yeah. So I pay my water bill online now, but does the city still send out the mailing they used to stick into the water bills? Does that still come out quarterly or whatever?
That's a good question. I'd have to ask my wife. She pays that bill.
Yeah, I get it. I still mail my bill in.
So
I do get something.
So hopefully we could put something in there as well then. Yeah.
That is a great idea. That's far better than just doing a separate mailing. It's already being sent out.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's a great thing. See, Ed, it's pleased to have you here. You got your Power Red shirt on today.
Yeah.
you're like Tiger Woods over there at the Masters.
Right. I wish I had half of Tiger's money.
I'll take a tenth of his money.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure my annual salary is like a day for him or less or whatever. No, that's a really good idea, because if we could keep it to like a one sheet trifold kind of thing, it wouldn't really increase the weight. It wouldn't really that, or to that point, it could be more than one. You know, maybe we could get into multiple mailings. Just, I don't know. I like the idea, though. There's something there. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mailings. And having a web page on the city's website is really a necessity.
Yeah, Darren and I were talking about that yesterday, that in cases like this, because it's such a big issue, it might even be better to get our team, whoever upstairs does this stuff, to actually have a website not on our website. You could go to our website, but it'll take you somewhere else.
Right.
You know, a separate website so we can house the information and it doesn't get lost in the mix on our website. So that certainly seems to be, could be step one. Because you could just start housing everything, at least on the web for the time being. But I think it would be great to do some FAQ type stuff, like what is House Bill 2001? Does this mean your neighbor will build a quadplex next to you tomorrow? You know, Okay, that's hyperbolic, but you get my point, right? I mean, we start doing some FAQs and then it can build. It can. It doesn't have to be complete. It can just be continue to build upon it. Well, I'll say this. I think that, you know, as we develop some of these ideas, my take, and maybe I'm reading the council wrong, is that they would actually really appreciate us putting in the time and effort to create a really good comprehensive outreach program for this, so it helps them and be as informed as they can be. I think the weight that the council feels sometimes about issues like this is probably pretty heavy, and they want to hear from as many people as possible. And if we can do our part as the citizen involvement committee, I think they'd really appreciate that. And it's something substantive that we can actually go do, you know? I mean, is there a way to somehow engage through neighborhood associations as well? Or is that just?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to, I'll report on this discussion at the next NAP meeting, which isn't until September. But I will, certainly encourage the NAs to distribute the information. And once we get our outreach up and running, websites or whatever, we can send emails to the NAs and NA presidents and have them send out newsletters to their members. So, we'll certainly use the NAs. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And the city also places announcements on the Nextdoor app.
Yep.
So that can be a good way to get in touch with people who wouldn't ordinarily be on the list of the email list or things like that.
Yeah. It wouldn't really work in this case because schools, we have two kids that go to Willamette Elementary and, I don't think school is going to be what school used to be for some time, a lot of online and whatnot. And it's too bad because I know that when I did some work for Kelso, Washington, I was in South Kelso, Washington, and it's a really rough neighborhood, highest, pregnancy rate, highest dropout rate for the state of Washington. Just, it's really run down, old resource economy where the resource is gone now and no one has an education and drug use and alcoholism. So one of the things we did to actually start helping the city understand some of the problems was we used school kids to help us out to express how bad the city can be and what we can do about it. And I'm not saying that exactly fits here, but we don't really have the ability, I think, to utilize students right now just because of the social distancing issues we have. But I know there's a lot of interested high schoolers in issues like this. And I mean, Gary, I remember being on planning commission and we had a Boy Scout troop show up. Did you remember that? It was the day we were voting on the firehouse up on Hidden Springs. And, they were partially interested until they found out how boring it is to sit through a planning commission meeting. but it's too bad because I think engaging youth and kids can be a really good way to get messages out. But I just don't see that being really possible, but I'm throwing it out there as a thought just because it might spark something in someone.
Well, that may be a possibility, or, more like civics class or what, I'm not sure what they have, as far as
what they call
political science type course that, whether it's, an assignment or extra credit or whatever, even to, to watch this CCI meeting or other meetings that address HB 2001, because they, if the kids are part of the process, then maybe they'll bring it to the dinner table and talk about it with their parents or maybe the whole family, or probably not the whole family, but more than one person would watch it within a household.
Yeah. One of my, two thoughts on that. We might as well try. There's no reason we couldn't ask the, civics or poli sci or whatever they call it nowadays, instructor, and maybe they have an idea on engagement or maybe they can create something. And we have an in here at City Hall with the high school with one of the instructors. So I could always try and figure out who would be the teacher and make reach out, you know.
Yeah.
The other thought I have is, you know, when I was in one of my professors in grad school, he was worked for the city of Portland. I don't know if I told you guys this back when they were doing the recycling program, when they were starting the recycling program. And it wasn't going very well at first. And so they had the idea of doing two things. One was they made the bins yellow so that when your neighbor put it out, you felt pressure to put yours out. That was back in 1973. And the other was they went to grade schools and taught like fifth graders and sixth graders what recycling is and why it's important. And they go home and they talk to their parents. Why are you throwing that? You know, they get on their parents' case and it worked. And so, I mean, to your point, engaging kids can sometimes do more than you think it can. It might just be having a discussion at home engages a parent as well. So maybe there's an avenue there, you know. It's worth reaching out. It's worth trying.
Can you guys hear me yet?
Yes.
Hey, there she is.
All right. I was like trying to talk forever and like, you, I was like, I don't think they could hear me. So I logged back off and logged on.
I was totally wondering, why is it so quiet? Oh, that's all right. There's Shannon. Okay.
So now I'm going to forget all the questions I had when I was doing this. I was going to say, as far as engagement, like, I don't know if WebEx has the technology or not, but I've been in a couple county meetings where they've had the breakout rooms kind of a thing. So when you have large groups of people, then you can put them in separate rooms and then come back and, you know, have the larger discussion. But that way you can have the, you know, if you're talking about one thing versus the other, you can put people in breakout rooms. And then we talked about on EDC about the, in relation to this HB 2001-2003 and working on the ADU code in kind of conjunction. So is the state, I mean, we're doing it in regards to ADU as far as Airbnb and stuff might be concerned, but would an ADU qualify as a duplex, or does it specifically have to be a duplex?
I think it's different.
It is.
Okay.
As far as I understand it, it is.
That's all.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Shannon, it's, that ADU policy is on the docket from council. And I know Darren and I are trying to put something together as well. And anyway, they're related, but they're not connected.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I was just thinking if you created zoning where, you know, it could only be a ADU instead of an actual duplex, if they would let that fly, but it doesn't sound like it would.
Well, no, because right now that's kind of how it is. I mean, you can put ADUs in a lot of our zones, but it becomes financially untenable when we force certain system development charges on someone who wants to do that. You know, if you double the price or double the cost of building an ADU because we expect you to build out the street in front of the house. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've been working in Westland for, let's say, 11 months, roughly 10 months, actually, whatever. I kid you not, I've had 20 or 25 people call me and ask about building an ADU. And when they find out how much they're going to have to pay the city just to build it, they walk away.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that ADUs are necessarily the solution, but I think aging in place is an important discussion to have when you're talking about a small studio in someone's backyard that looks, you know, I mean, I think it's a discussion we should be having. I think that's slightly different than allowing someone to build a triplex next door to your house, you know?
I know. I'm just trying to figure out creative ways we can
skirt
this this law that's mandate on us. Or it doesn't work for all areas.
No, it doesn't. But it does seem like there's more and more voices coming out from smaller cities that are starting to express that. I think West Lynn was one of the first to express that. But I think from what I understand, it's the voices are getting louder, but that goes back to what Gary was saying earlier. The closer we get, the more intensity and the more, you know, it becomes a higher, higher priority. So,
well, and I think that, you know, you're bringing up system development charges, and I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with these, but.
Oh, sorry.
Well, but no, I think it's a good starting point because Westland is going to have to look at this really hard, because when system development charges for a regular home are on the order of, as I understand, around $50,000.
Yep.
And part of the reason for HB 2001 is to provide homes that are more affordable. I don't even know what the SDCs would be if you were putting up a duplex. I mean, if it's 2 times 50,000 or if it's, you know, some proportional, you know, split on 50, or if it's, you know, 30 and 30 or what it is.
Right.
But then if you go to a triplex or a fourplex, you know, it's not necessarily going to be inexpensive because of the way our community has set up funding, and SDCs are a significant part of that. Yeah. But they were in the past. I mean, we don't have a lot of developable land left.
Right.
So.
I mean, that is one way you get around it, right? As you make it unaffordable, that it doesn't make sense for anyone to do it.
Right.
And
it's true.
And I think there's also a constraint based on the existing utilities that are available. So, you know, if you have to put in, you know, if you're already maxing out sewer capacity and you would have to, in order to have, you know, duplex, triplex, fourplexes throughout the city, and you have to increase that capacity in some fashion, that puts a financial burden on the whole community, especially when we're already tight on budget as is.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I mean, just things in my mind, those are things to keep in mind as we go through this.
Yeah, I think your point about the utility is actually one that doesn't get brought up much, but it is an issue. You know, just today I was working with a guy who's trying to develop, you know, two properties down off Willamette Drive, but it's uphill and he's going to have to lay down a sewer line underneath Willamette Drive, and it's going to cost like $100,000. And suddenly the project becomes, you know, he's going to make $10 on it after it's all said and done, you know, it's up what return on investment he was going to get. And so that's a discussion he's having with engineering and public works is, can we do pumps? What can we do? And I think the point is, utilities don't get thought of very often. They're not very sexy, and you don't notice them until you don't have them, right? We don't notice our sewer system until the pipe explodes in the street, and then we really notice our sewer system or water or electricity when it goes out. So you're right. I mean, there is limited capacity. And in some of the, my take on this is that some of these duplex, triplex, quadplex situations would land in some of the older neighborhoods that we have, because some of those lots are bigger and they could be more easily developed. And the utilities in some of these older neighborhoods aren't necessarily ready to handle that. I mean, I'm not an expert. I mean, I'm not speaking of anything exact, but it's a discussion worth having for sure.
Shannon, are these kinds of things, I mean, are you coming up against this with ADUs and things like that in the discussions with economic development?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it more in depth next month. Like I said, more of how it relates to Airbnb code and stuff like that. But, you know, it's going to be part of the whole code development for ADUs. So, I mean, I think part of it might be to reduce some of the red tape on it to make it easier to build.
Yeah. You know, in a lot of the ADU discussion, there are a lot of existing structures that people would like to turn into ADUs, that maybe it's a shop or some sort of larger garage or something. The structure exists. They just want to change the use. But again, the same charges apply because you're changing it from a non-dwelling unit to a dwelling unit, and you get hit with the system development charges. And so that's one of the, again, will start coming out. So it's not always going to be new construction that we're talking about with ADUs. I think it, with HB 2001, you know, what we're talking about with that stuff is pretty much all new construction, right? I mean, we don't have a lot of quadplexes and duplexes in an R10 zone around here. But I think the ADU conversation is going to be really interesting because I think there's a lot of spaces that could be used as dwelling units that right now just, it's too expensive. You just won't do it, or they, someone wouldn't do it. Anyway.
So I guess we all have homework.
Yeah. Maybe should we recap that homework since there's a fair amount?
Yeah, let's do that. And maybe you can send an email out. With the table you're going to make, the comparison table.
Yeah, the side-by-side.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so why don't I do that? And maybe what I can do is, Lynn is listening and she doesn't need to comment, but maybe I can help get some help from Lynn putting that together and we can get it out within the next couple of days.
Okay.
We are really cranking on the land use applications these days and we're running down a planner. So we're working hard right now trying to keep up with the land use apps coming in. But having said that, Lynn is a wizard. There she is. A master at this kind of stuff. So maybe she could help me mash it together in a functional way and get it out sooner than the 5th. That way we just have more time. Yeah. She's smiling, so that's a good start. I know when I've done something wrong. It's all in the face. Okay, so yeah, I can do it like a little homework breakdown. But the reality of it is what we've got reading the House Bill 2001 memo that Darren is sending, that's taken to PC on August 5th. So it's dated August 5th to the PC. We're kind of going through that memo and the accompanying materials beneath it. That's one of them. Looking at the vision goals, which we'll send out. Continuing to brainstorm citizen engagement concepts for the HB 2001 stuff. Those are like the three big ones that I have on here.
And if you can send out either the actual bills for HB 2001 and 2003 or links to those bills. And then Vicky mentioned the summaries.
I emailed those about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, it's just on the DLCD website and then the Oregon State Legislature, the OLIS, and the staff measure summaries are in there too. So there should be in everyone's inbox links to those documents.
Oh, I see it. Great.
And email. On top of that, though, there's a lot of other links that you can go to from within those links. There's a lot of information if you really want to go down the vortex of learning about 2001 and 2003.
Hey, Chris, this is Dan here. I didn't receive anything. What?
You didn't?
No. Can you just tell me what email you have on file?
Yeah, let me open that up real quick.
So are you sure you want your email out?
That's right. This is being blasted throughout the...
All right.
I won't say it out loud. Let's see.
Does it end in Gmail or Plan B Consult?
Here I have Gmail.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, and it's not getting to you?
No.
The one that I'm seeing ends in Plan B Consult.
Okay, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, we don't want that one.
Okay. I agree with you. So what I'll do is I'll take the emails I've sent tonight and whatever other stuff, I'll just put it into one email and send it to you directly using the Gmail account. Is that right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
No, not a problem. Sorry about the confusion.
No worries. And I apologize. I got to sign off, folks. I got a kid melting down.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely evening. Stay you cool. Yep. Bye.
Been there before. All right. Well, I think that also, Gary, just as an aside, that pretty much creates our agenda for next month as well. I mean, there won't be a lot of room to really discuss much else.
I think you're right. And there, I was just looking for my agenda. Yeah, so topics for future meetings. I think we're going to be pretty well occupied for the next two or three.
Yep.
And depending on the urgency that gets placed on this, we might even consider in between meetings too. But
yeah.
But if we can do things and just and do email, that's great.
Yeah.
So. So anyway, so that gets us past item six, unless someone else has any topics for future meetings. But I think we're going to be pretty well busy the next couple.
I don't have a topic for a future meeting, but I just have a random off-topic question. So I don't know if that goes into a separate part of the agenda.
That could be under member comments.
Okay. I'll wait a bit.
Perfect timing. Did I lose one? Chan, are you there?
Oh, is that now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought I was going to wait. Okay. so I was... I'll try to phrase this the best I can, Gary, because I know it could be a potential problem for you. But I was listening to the high school parking discussion, and it prompted my brain to say, I know originally their conditional use permit was based on the stadium, but that's not actually what the code says, right? The code has a different standard. But they changed it to be this stadium thing because of it would be higher. And I think it would, you know, still be higher. But I'm just wondering, is a conditional use permit like just always valid? Like there's nothing they could do to lose the conditional use permit?
You want Westland High School to lose their conditional use permit?
No, but I'm just just wondering if it all stays or if it would ever, if they go through this process, if there was a different, like if there was any way for them to create a different criteria to base it on other than that, or because the conditional use was given that, that's what they have to base it on. Like, could it change? Could you change the conditional use permit, I guess?
Well, this is changing the, there will be an amendment to their conditional use. So it is changing.
Really? Because they're saying basically that they're only going to do the amount of spots that they have to do based on the number of seating. But when they show the map of the school, mm-hmm. they have like a lot of land that I didn't know that they had that could also be parking. But they were very adamant that they're doing the minimum amount that they need to do per this conditional use code.
So... let's back up. A lot of that land can't be used for parking.
Okay.
There's a conservation easement over a strong portion of that land, and then the slope on a lot of the property is not going to work for construction. Then there's also the protected area, which is closer to the freeway, which is also essentially bedrock. So the construction costs would be really high.
Yeah, it's more that the area that they're putting most of the parking, it looks really big back there, but I don't know what it looks like really. I mean, they just showed a...
You're talking about off Skyline?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know my streets over there.
Oh, sorry. Behind, you're talking about sort of behind the stadium?
Yeah.
The other parking lot across the road. Yeah, that's Skyline. So we walked the site with the arborist, both the private and the city arborist and the school district. I did about a month ago. It starts climbing up the hill really quickly. Okay. There's about 1 acre of flat space, and that's what they're using. And it goes right up to their, more or less right up to the property line. And then it starts to tilt uphill very, very quickly. So I get that what you're saying, they might be phrasing it as they're doing the minimum, which that's probably true, because they're only, you know, they only have so much funding from the bond measure. I think that whole project is like $8 million. But I don't think there's a lot of other places on the school's property that they can actually put parking. I could be wrong. Right now I have their pre-application conference next Wednesday. I think that's 10 a.m. And then eventually I'm sure I'll have their application once they apply. So, I mean, it'll all be part of the process, but we can't make them build more parking. We can only make them build the amount of parking that's related to the expansion of the stadium.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was asking, is that it's because the conditional use has already been given, so they can't change that part of it.
Right.
It's been given.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the other option was if this space they're looking at now wasn't going to work, one of the other options was to build a second story on top of the existing faculty parking lot. But the cost of doing so was like four times the cost of building a surface level parking lot. So that was essentially next step.
Yeah.
Was building on top of the current one. And you can imagine how much more expensive that gets.
Yeah.
Typically a surface parking lot, you're going to end up spending about between four and $5,000 per parking stall to construct the parking lot.
Jeez.
If you go building down or up, the number is about $40,000 to $50,000 per parking stall.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
how does anybody make any money back on parking?
I don't think anyone does. Well, no, you charge like, you know, $15 an hour or whatever it is, you know. So it becomes really, really difficult, and they're just running out of buildable space over there. And some of it is legally protected. That they had to sign an agreement to protect, I think it's about 6 acres, when they wanted to expand, the last time they expanded one of the buildings. I can't remember which, maybe it was the arts building. I can't really remember, but some of it got protected to allow them to expand the buildings. So they're in kind of a tough spot.
Okay, thanks.
Of course.
So I thought I'd bring up something that came up today, and Ed can speak to this as well. So Ed forwarded an email to me from Kathy Ellicky at the Willamette Neighborhood Association, and this fits right in with something Shannon brought up a few months ago regarding the tree code. And so I, with all the other things that have gone on, I think there's a way to get some revised language for the tree code going in the next couple months. And so I just wanted to indicate that I want to bring that up at next week's Planning Commission meeting. Mm-hmm. So we have a legislative hearing next week for a couple of different areas of the community development code, and then there's another area of code on shared driveways, private streets, that we had hoped to get incorporated with that package. And that didn't happen, but we've already had a work session on it. So I'm going to try and get tree code changes in with the other private street shared driveway code changes and see if we can get that done in September. So
that'd be great.
Yeah. Because I mean, the Planning Commission has known about it and about the problems with the tree code. And I'm not even sure how that all came up, if it was because of, you know, a typographical error or just it somehow slipped through the cracks or whatever, but it doesn't make any sense to have a maximum amount of trees allowed for development when in fact it was meant to be a minimum number of trees allowed. Yeah. So it seems like an easy change.
How dare you say that? Now you've jinxed it.
I said it seems.
I know. Yeah, I remember first reading that code and having to reread it like 9 times, thinking, I must be reading this wrong.
I still reread it.
I'm with you. I think it must have been like a typographical error versus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because who would ever write that in their right mind? Who would actually? It doesn't. It's. Yeah, I don't get it.
Exactly. And considering, I remember the development that led to that code. And it was before my time on the Planning Commission, but I'm pretty certain it was because of a specific area where it was wholesale cleared.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah, that often happens. Some sort of moment happens where it changes. People want to change the code, and
yeah, you
just have to be careful how you're changing it. You know.
Right. So having a maximum amount of trees wouldn't make any sense, but a minimum amount would make complete sense.
I don't get it. Well, we are Tree City, so, you know.
Why it doesn't make sense.
I know. I know.
But isn't there history on it? Like, couldn't you go through in public record and see, like, the exact meeting where the code was changed and what the intent of the code was?
Yeah, underneath each code, there is usually an ordinance change date. So you could go back and look. Not all of those are going to be online archived. They'd be hard copied here in our code library we have in the office. It's probably just that no one really has wanted to do it or take it on. It needs to be taken on. It needs to be made appropriate. So someone probably will have to do that. But at some point, someone's going to say, it doesn't matter. It is what it is, and we're changing it. So,
but if it was proven to be like a typographical error, could it be something as simple as fixing it without a huge amount of public hearing and work and stuff if it was purely typographical?
No, because I think at this point, it's been so long, you'd still have to go through the process appropriate. I think you'd want to go through the legal appropriate process. Otherwise, you open yourself up to potential problems down the road. That would be my take.
I think we've just been really fortunate that developers have recognized that it was intended as a minimum.
Yep.
20% of trees or whatever the actual definition is, but a minimum as opposed to a maximum.
Yeah. I think I've even heard developers say minimum, like recognizing what's happening.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, I'm with you, Gary. Yeah.
But I don't think the school district is.
Why do you say that?
Because I just have little faith in them. I've been attending all of the meetings, and I just don't feel that they are working on good faith.
Oh, are you talking about Dollar Street now, or are you talking about
parking? No, Dollar Street.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not touching that. Not touching that. My kids will go there, so I'm out. I'm on the sidelines.
So, any other comments? If not, I think we can adjourn.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
You got us, Lynn.
7:08 p.m.
7:08.